You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Here I am.
What you doing?
You know what today is.
Today's a big day for music.
It's 303 day when we're recording this.
Oh, shit. 303 day. There you go.
The boys.
303 day. Well, I'm a vegetarian and I ain't fucking scared of him.
Ayo.
That was always a clever line.
I thought it was, too.
Don't know if those lyrics have aged super well, the whole don't trusting a hoe business, but...
No.
I back 303. We've...
Oh, yeah.
I've had some good times in my life with them, their music on in the background or something at Warped Tour. I don't know.
I mean, they've always been consistently themselves, I think, which is just great. And while we're here, they've got a new single out today, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great single.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is great. We're back again live on Twitch. Hello, Twitch people. On the podcast on Friday.
Podcast
and
people.
We're talking about all the new records of this week and quite a few from
new
last
noise,
week as well. The new noise. That's what we're calling this. New noise.
Yeah,
I ripped off
noise.
The Refused cover for the graphics and it felt a little bit blasphemous, I'll be honest. But I did it anyway.
It's okay. We got some new art coming soon. We'll see when that gets done. And I think it'll be nice. We'll have our own little official art. It'll be cool.
Yeah, I think so too. This is great. Yeah, who we got in the chat? Oh, the usual suspects. I like to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is going to be good. This is going to be a good one today. So, Mike, let's talk about last week.
Let's get right into it. We got so much to talk about.
Big week. I mean, big week. My favorite band of all time, NOFX, put out an album. The biggest, most anticipated record was Architects. There was that strange EP from Cher.
Yeah,
those were the three I'd say I focused most on over the past 7 days. What about you?
Yeah, I focused on probably those three and then the new Jetty Bones record, too. I felt absolutely in love with that.
Yes.
What do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's talk about NOFX because you said you were going to, you know, you're a new NOFX fan. You know, I'm a very old NOFX fan. I've been listening to the band for like 25 years, maybe more. And, you know, I really want to hear your take on this as kind of a, you know, a person that hasn't been immersed in the band, you know, so much like me.
So, unfortunately, I know I said last week I was going to try and listen to some old NOFX albums, too.
Yeah.
I just didn't get time, which is unfortunate. That happens.
Yeah.
Work has been absolutely crazy. But listening to the new NOFX album, single album, I listened to that twice. And honestly, what I kind of took away from it is that it was just a really fun, personal album. Like, and... it was able to do that because I feel like these NOFX guys, they're saying, like, we're punk and we don't care what everybody else thinks punk is. And that's what makes us punk now, which I think is really cool. I think the record was really well written. Overall, it was just a fun release. And I was really happy I got to check it out.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I took that at all away from it. I mean, definitely, it is a personal record for sure.
Mm-hmm.
probably maybe the most personal record that NOFX has written, because a lot of times with NOFX in the past, they've written songs that were more like, hey, this is like a political song about that. Like, there isn't really anything like that on this record, at least that jumped out at me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, it does seem like a record that's very much like, I've been through some crazy shit, and here it is in all of its honesty and all of its truth. I think the issue I had most with the NOFX record was the first track. It doesn't really fit
with the rest of the album.
It doesn't at all, and it doesn't really fit with the rest of the band's career. So when you start off with this, you know, almost 6 minute long song at the beginning,
it's abrasive almost.
It's very abrasive, and I think it took me a couple listens, and I had to kind of start to hear the lyrics a little bit better to kind of know what was going on. But there's some great classic NOFX songs here, like the song Birmingham is really good, and there's a few like really bright spots. I just think overall I need a little more time with this record, just because I think as an old fan, I wasn't ready for it yet. So that's my take. I'm not going to say it's a bad record. I don't think it's their best record by any means, but I do think that it's worth talking about for sure. And
100%.
Yeah. That's it.
Overall, you want to talk about that new Cherry EP?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Same.
It's weird though, because I felt like when I went to Spotify last week, there was nothing about Cher at all. And now there's like all their old releases and everything are up there. Unless there's another band called Cher. I was confused, but I just listened to
same project I found out.
Okay. So I just listened to the new EP, and it's like the songs are amazing. Like this sounds like, I mean, obviously we will never downplay Johnny Frank's writing, but this writing style is very much like could be on pop radio. Like it's that good.
I almost think it's more like, it's almost too relaxed to be on the pop radio though, right? Like it's not very energetic. It's very, very mellow. And like the way that he kind of describes it as like cottage music or like electronic music to sit around a campfire to, like, I get that vibe through the music. And I just really enjoy it. Like the ambiance of it is absolutely phenomenal. It's a very calm record, but it doesn't feel that way. It kind of like pulls you along in a very nice way. Overall, I really like this EP. I think it's fun. I think it's a unique release. I don't expect to hear anything else like it this year unless Bill Murray puts out another EP. Actually, I changed my mind. I do expect to hear something else like it, because it really reminds me of Porter Robinson and his style of electronic music, where it's very kind of high spectrum, ambient, feel good vibes. And maybe that's why I like it so much, just because I related to that subconsciously and now just noticing. But I think it's a great EP and everybody should check it out.
I do too. I absolutely love it. All right. Well, let's get to the biggest release of the week. The new album from Architects. This record has been talked about since they released the first single from it, Animals.
We talked about it.
Yeah. Marked a big change, in their sound. And I don't know. I mean, I really want to hear your take on this, knowing that you've been a big fan of this band for a long time.
Yeah. So my first initial take, I really liked the album. I thought it was a good album, but I thought it just felt long, kind of because how all the songs do sound a bit similar.
But it is long.
And it is long. It's about 50 minutes. And I thought that there were a couple songs that I could cut out from the record. But as I've been spending time with it, I think I'm on listen 5 or 6 now. I have forgotten what those songs I thought I could cut were. And it kind of fits as a longer record for me now. I don't think it's going to be like album of the year good for me. I think it's a very solid release, and I wouldn't be surprised to see this on a lot of top tens and things like that as the year goes by. But I'm really happy with the direction that Architects are going. I think you can definitely tell that there's growing pains on this album, but there's also moments of brilliance. I mean, not everybody is going to instantly figure something out like a Bring Me or something like that. It takes a little bit of time to naturally progress.
No, 100%. And I put on the record, you know, mm-hmm. and I saw that it was 15 tracks and I was like, wow. And I actually think that the second half of the record is
stronger,
way better than the first half of the record. And yep. like even, you know, Black Lungs, which is like, you know, the first track is sort of like an intro track. Black mm-hmm. Lungs being the first song, also a single. That song like doesn't grab me like most of the other songs.
No.
Giving Blood, like, I thought was like a good one too, but like not anywhere near mm-hmm. like the last, all like literally from Animals all the way to the end. That's like yeah. bang. Like I wish that the record started with those songs because I think that they're mm-hmm. really, really strong. And I agree with you though. Like, it is the kind of thing like if they somehow cut. Like if I could cut the weakest four from this record, I think it could be mm-hmm. album of the year. I think it is that good.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all subject too, because like if you're listening to this album, it's going to flow differently without those songs. And I don't know, I'd have to try it and play around with it. But I really think the way that they released it, as I've spent more time with it, has kind of grown on me.
Yeah,
I really like it. But speaking of the back half of that record, like it is so amazing. Like I feel like we really start to ramp up with Dead Butterflies, the fifth track, and then it kind of like levels off and plateaus in like a very good middle ground. But like once it hits Little Wonder and Animals, it's just an absolutely incredible end of the record. And like, what did you think of our good friend Simon Neil from Biffy Clyro's feature?
Amazing. That song's amazing. So good. Yeah. I mean, all the features really are really cool, and they're all different. You know, yep. when it's funny, we talked about Parkway Drive just last week and how some of the architects' modeling of their sound seems to be a little bit similar to what Parkway Drive did on their last record. I don't know if I mm-hmm. really agree with that now after hearing the whole record. However, having Winston on the track, like he comes in and he's just like, his voice just booms in this different way.
He's a force. Like, I don't know. It's good, but I think it's strange that it's like kind of put in the middle of the record too. Like it's a good song, but it just doesn't feel like a good time with the rest of the record to come in and go that heavy, right? Because the song kind of ends with that feature. So I think it would have been good if there was like that feature and then it led right into like Animals or something like that, where you're just ready to go ham.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I would love to be a fly on the wall of that band when they were trying to figure out how to sequence this album.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if, like, I didn't dive enough into the lyrics or read the lyrics at all to know mm-hmm. if there's some kind of an underlying theme or a story or a concept. And that's part of why, you know, the album is sequenced how it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's hard to sequence records. And when you have this many tracks, man, mm-hmm. it's just so difficult. The other song at the beginning, near the beginning of the record, Discourse Is Dead, that's a banger. Yeah. That could have been track
that's
one
a good
for
track.
Me too.
I feel like going towards like the ordering of the songs, I feel like it could have been done a little bit differently with how the songs are made too. Like I wish there was just a little bit more kind of transition from song to song. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that would have helped this record as a whole. I mean, obviously it would have made it a little bit longer, but I feel like those wouldn't have been wasted minutes if you're kind of making it flow a little bit better than it did. I wouldn't feel like the album's dragging and then like dropping me really quickly and then going again. You know, I think it would have been a good move. You ready to talk about some new music this week?
Yeah, let's get into it. I'm ready, man. I know a little birdie told me that we're going to deviate from the top five as we usually do, and we're going to add... And we're going to make it a top six.
Top six this week.
Top six.
A little different, but there are so many good records this week that I couldn't help myself. My scene card would have been revoked if I did not make it six.
I'm ready for it, Mike.
Are you ready?
Let's go. Let's start it out. Here it is. Number six.
Number six. We have probably the biggest release this week as far as bands go, and probably surprising to a lot of people that it's this far down the list. But we've got the new record, You're Welcome, by A Day to Remember.
We do. This is a long anticipated album.
Yeah.
We have
about a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. It literally. I mean, this album, people were expecting it to be to drop at the end of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least be like, I think, because they had a single out then. Degenerates came out around then, I think.
Yep.
And here we go. I mean, this, they've released what? I think 4 singles now.
Yep.
And, you know, like really like putting them out very quite spaced apart. Like, okay, the record's coming.
Sporadically, too. We have no idea when these singles have come. They're just here. I feel like the marketing on this record has just been abysmal.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure like they had much more of a plan going into this, and then I'm sure it just got derailed by COVID, you know? And like,
oh, yeah,
I can't blame them for that because, you know, this is a band that has proven themselves as the live scene band. Mm-hmm. They invested a lot of money early. They stepped up their production. No one, as far as I'm concerned, no one touches them. They are the Nine Inch Nails of the scene in terms of production.
I think that's Bring Me, but we'll get there.
A Day to Remember has been at it for longer than Bring Me, and you know, obviously been popular longer than Bring Me, and they have been, you know, killing it in the live form. So I understand them not wanting to put out a record when they can't tour it live. So that's probably the whole reason for the delay. And that's fine. And here we are. But a lot of these singles, I mean, to be honest, they've kind of all grown on me over time. But I know a lot of people were pretty disappointed. And actually, there's been 5 singles, not 4, because of the acoustic song.
That's not
song
on record.
Oh, Everything We Need's not?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Or no, Everything We Need is. I thought you were talking about the Marshmallow song.
Oh, no.
Is there 5 singles?
There is. There's Degenerates, Resentment, Mind Reader, Brick Wall, and Everything We Need.
You're right. So you're right.
Yeah.
This
but
is
I don't
gonna
know
be a record.
Yeah. I mean, I don't That's know. Maybe like it's hard. You fill in the gaps with this with the other songs and it could be all right. I don't know. We'll see.
So
we'll see.
I'm not super looking forward to this record, honestly. I think the singles have been pretty weak. I don't like them from a lyrical standpoint. I think it's pretty phoned in. I'm interested to see how this album goes. And we actually have a little bet running on the Discord that if it turns out that I actually do like this album, I have to let the Discord make a butt rock playlist, and that's all I can work out to for the week.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but you're going to secretly enjoy that butt rock playlist. So,
oh, I definitely will.
Yeah.
But see, I would if I got to make it, because then all the like decent butt rock, like it would be Skillet and Star Set and stuff that like you can throw in there, but it's not really. It's going to be like everything that's super butt rocky. So we'll see how it goes. But honestly, like all of the singles, the first time I hear them, I'm like, I really don't like this. And then as I hear them more, I've liked them less and less.
Oh, like, really? Okay. I go the other way on that. But
the intro to Degenerates just grinds me. I don't know why. I think it's kind of corny.
I do wonder if, you know, I mean, obviously their rollout changed. Their plan changed. Mm-hmm. I think if they were to have come out with maybe Resentment first, people would have been like, oh, fuck, here we go. Because I think Resentment like, is the strongest song they've released of the
it
5.
Is, but
But Degenerates being very poppy, having some of those like programmed drum elements and stuff, I think maybe people were like, maybe that was a long time to like put that out before the album's coming. You know, to just have their fans kind of be, you know, not be freaking out, worrying about the record, which they still are until this Friday.
Yeah. Like, I'm worrying about it, right? And I mean, Resentment, yeah, it's probably the best single, but even that has like portions that grind me. Like, right before that little breakdown when he goes, "This is the eye of the tiger," or whatever, that line sucks.
Oh, I love that.
Like,
well, we have
I hate that
we
line.
Have to agree to disagree on that one, because I like that.
Oh.
And Brick Wall, someone in the chat says Brick Wall is terrible. I mean, I'll be honest, like I the first time I heard it, I was like a little thrown with some of the production. That's grown on me too. So I don't know, man. Maybe this is gonna be like that growing record somehow. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. It's A Day to Remember, so I never fully count them out. Those guys are magic. They made such classic albums in this scene that I can never they're like Green Day. Like, I'm never not going to listen to something new.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of getting to the point where I'm like, am I going to enjoy it now still or no? We'll see what happens.
All right. Well,
let's see how this record goes.
Okay. Well, let's move on to number five.
Right as I'm taking a drink.
That's okay.
So number five. So coming out of Scranton, Pennsylvania, aka home of The Office, we've got the new album, I Won't Care How You Remember Me by Tiger's Jaw.
Yes. Cool pick, Mike.
Hell yeah. I'd like to think so. I picked it. If you guys don't know anything about Tiger's Jaw, they're kind of a pop punk alternative band, I guess. They're kind of right in that middle ground, maybe like classic punk too, almost. I wouldn't say classic punk, but like post-punk, I don't know.
Yeah, they're a bit hard to describe, I think, because they like there are elements of sort of punk rock in it, but then there's almost elements of like someone here describes them as a middle ground between Fleetwood Mac and Saves the Day. So, you know, they do have those kind of classic elements. I don't want to say classic rock because that's not quite right, but, you know, more mainstream sort of influences, not just punk influences.
I compare them to bands like Tidal Fight and Balance and Composure. If you like them, you'll probably like this. Overall, though, the singles, there's four of them. They're absolutely awesome, and they've really caught my eye. This has been a band that I have been paying attention to, but not intently, and these EP or singles have really kind of changed that for me. Like, the entire aesthetic of the album is cool. I love the album artwork. Overall, the lyricism has been really fun, and the guitar work's kept me in with each single. I think this album's going to be great, and everybody should check it out.
There's also a new song called New Detroit on there, so you must love that
exactly.
one, Mike, right?
Exactly. I don't know. I don't think that's my favorite single, though. I think Cat's Cradle is my favorite single. That song rips.
Nice. No, great. Yeah. A great pick. Tiger's Jaw. Glad we're giving them some love here because they are very, very deserving of it.
Oh, yeah. Good boys.
All right. And number four.
Number four. So coming in at number four, we have The Spill Canvas. And
yes,
I actually need to take a break real quick. I'll be right back. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I can talk about The Spill Canvas.
Yeah, talk to the boys.
Nick's my boy. I absolutely love this band. I've loved them for a long time. I mean, this is a band that we're going back like 15 years, probably, since, you know, I think their first album came out, and they've put out a lot of records, since. And then I feel like they've been a bit of a hiatus. You know, Nick had some drug problems. He was on heroin and some pretty serious stuff. And, you know, talking to him, having him on the podcast, you know, this record's a long time coming. So he's just an incredible songwriter, and, the kind of band, like, you know, they're going to put something out and it's going to be amazing. And, I always really liked when they stripped down and they did some of their acoustic stuff. I'm not sure what this record's going to have on it, but we'll see. And I think there's a feature from Sherry Dupree Bemis, which is from Isley. So that is pretty cool. So yeah, man, I love this guy. I love his band, and I'm excited for this because it's been a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure how long it's been. You probably said that.
Yeah, well, the last full length record, I believe, was 2012.
Yep.
And I think that even that was like, you know, sort of, I think it came out like on a small label or like they put it out themselves. So it's really like they haven't really put out a main record in like probably 10 to 15, 10 over 10 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, great comeback. And I mean, I'm excited for this. This is a band that I've never really checked out. They've always been kind of, I think, one of the more classic kind of pop punk groups. But from what I've listened on the singles, I've kind of checked them out because I know that they're more classic. Like Firestorm and Molecules, absolutely amazing songs. I've really loved everything vocally on this. And I mean, I can't wait for it because they've got this kind of classic sound with the edge of like modern songwriting, I've kind of noticed, because I went back and listened to some of their older stuff too as I started listening to the singles, and they definitely sound a little bit dated, and these songs, they feel fresh, just like they're ready to go.
Shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's go. Number three.
So number three is a really fun band that I've recently found out about called Dreamshade. They are from Lugano, Switzerland. Cool. And they're releasing their new album, A Pale Blue Dot.
Okay.
What I like about this band is that they are that style of metal that's almost like native to Gothenburg in Sweden.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
Where it's mainly clean vocals. It's kind of almost industrial. And this band's just doing it all right now. They've got some really catchy choruses on these singles. They're mixing in great elements of electronics. They're writing absolutely amazing riffs. Like, that was the first thing that caught me when I just saw, like, one of the singles, I think it was Shanghai Nights, popped up on my release radar. And I wasn't just paying attention. It just played, and this riff just starts, and I'm like, who is this? I thought it was, like, somebody different, I guess. Or I looked at it, I'm just like, oh, I've never heard of this band before. Really excited.
Cool. And yeah, I don't know anything about this band.
I mean, I absolutely love them. They had like a electronic artist featuring on one of these singles, I think. If you're a fan of any of the kind of Gothenburg bigger bands, bands like Sonic Syndicate, The Unguided, Scar Symmetry, you'll absolutely love this record. I know I'm going to.
Can we talk about this promo photo on their Spotify, though?
Yeah, we can. It's a sick photo.
Backstreet's back. All right.
I mean, I like the car. It looks great.
I don't think they have those cars very readily available in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's cool. Like, they're doing something different by the sounds of it. They mm-hmm. they describe themselves as... oh, never mind. That feature new influences like rock, electronic, and rap music. Okay. That's...
Yeah, that's not wrong.
Just what are you influenced by? Oh, you know, rock.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, sure.
I mean, they're a sick band, though, and I've recently found them. I'm really happy I have. It's one of those kind of gems that you always get excited about when you find. And
no,
can't wait to listen to this album.
No, I'm excited to check them out. I always love to hear about new bands, you know, Mike. And I'm and as we've done this podcast, this show on Twitch, whatever, I've trusted you more and more with this. And rarely do you let me down. So there we go. Dreamshade mm-hmm. with number three. Let's go on. We're going through these pretty fast. Here's number
two. We are. I think we're about to start slowing down, though.
Well, oh, I think so. Here's number two.
So number two, we've got the new album, Beauty and Death by Chase Atlantic, coming out of Australia.
Beauty and Death. Yes. This is a big band.
It is.
They're big.
Surprisingly. Like, I don't even know what their listenership is at right now.
Oh, it's huge. It's probably like
4.2 million.
Yeah. It's like, we're talking double Architects.
Yeah.
That's the reality. And I'm sure, I haven't looked at it in a while, but they probably have, like all those singles, they probably have like hundreds of millions of plays. Not quite hundreds.
Their top
million,
one's 84 million.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of plays on Spotify. They are a big mm-hmm. band. I feel like on this side of the pond, not as big. Like, I don't know if that many people know them.
I think a year ago I saw them in the or maybe it's a year and a half, 2 years ago now. I saw them in the Shelter at St. Andrews, which is a 400 cap room.
Yeah,
and they were headlining. It was absolutely crazy, but. These guys are awesome. I've caught them on Warped Tour as well. They've got saxophone. They've got hip hop elements. They've got kind of rock elements. I don't know how to describe them like genre wise, except saying they're like emo alternative. Chase Atlantic. They are what they are, right?
They're a difficult band to describe and pigeonhole. Somehow they kind of find themselves in the scene talk, you know. And mm-hmm. I don't know. To be honest, I don't really know how. I guess it's just their ethics and you know where they come from. But I do enjoy their music.
Mm-hmm. And I think they kind of get grouped into the scene band because right when they were putting out their like first EP, first album, they got announced on Warped Tour.
Yeah.
Kevin Lyman picked them up. And normally bands that aren't quote unquote seen but don't have any other better place to fit, if they're tossed on Warped Tour, they become a seen band. So overall, I'm really excited for these guys, though. They're some of my favorite lyricists out there right now doing this kind of music. I think everything that they do is super catchy. It's not going to be the deepest stuff that you listen to, right? It's very vibey. It's not very existential, I guess, lyrically. They definitely have songs where they are rappers. But I've always loved these guys, and it's going to be an absolute banger of an album.
Yeah, I mean, lyrics are always an interesting thing when you, once you start to add electronic pop elements, mm-hmm. I feel like lyrics start to change.
Definitely.
And they get, you know, all of a sudden they're talking about the club and they're talking about drug use. And it's like you start to get more of like a rap lyric vibe, you know, coming into it. But I always appreciate artists that are in that genre that kind of keep it a little more poetic and a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more on that side of things.
I think they toe the line both ways, which is good.
Right. And I think that's a great thing when you talk about the lyrics. I think that that doesn't get talked about all that often. Just the differences between, you know, quote unquote, like rock music compared to rap music. And when you start to cross those lines, you know, where the lyrics kind of fall.
Yeah, and I mean, they've got kind of both on the singles even, too. I mean, they've got one song called Out the Roof, and that song is straight up a rap song. Like,
yeah,
it's vibey. They talk about being in the club and everything like that. And then you've got this other, the latest single from a couple weeks ago called Empty, and it's more kind of almost a deeper house track, I would say, with like the saxophone in the track and everything like that. And it's a much deeper song throughout the verses. And I don't know, I just love the dichotomy that they're able to bring to the same release. And normally once the full album is out, it ebbs and flows super well into this thing that just works.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't confuse them with Stand Atlantic. That's a
very different band, but we also love them.
We love them, but very different band. Yes.
Oh yeah.
We're going to get into the number one record after this. All right, let's get into the number one most anticipated album of the week.
Number one most anticipated album of the week. Coming out of Toronto, Canada. I feel like we've had a lot of number ones this year out of Toronto so far.
Hey.
Or at least lately.
There's something in the water. Scene. Yep.
But we've also had a lot of heavy bands. This is a deathcore band. We've got Brand of Sacrifice putting out their new album, Lifeblood. You talked to Kyle on the show?
Yeah. Just a couple weeks ago, Kyle came on and kind of told his whole kind of like wild background story about his old band and how they basically changed their name and became Brand of Sacrifice. And yeah, it's like kind of intense. Like the whole band is based on like a manga.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, which is like kind of interesting. It's the whole thing. The whole band is based on this. I forget the name of it now.
Berserk.
Berserk. And yeah, it's a crazy, crazy band, but this band is super talented and like super exciting. It's like it's like one exciting part into another exciting part. Like they just never get boring.
100%. I think they're a super accessible super accessible deathcore band because of that too. Like the intensity is there that longstanding deathcore fans are going to want, but there's really interesting riffs, mixing, kind of samples and everything like that throughout all of the songs that I think people who are more inclined to like say, oh, like metalcore is kind of the heaviest I get. I think there's going to be a lot that they find on this record if they check it out that they'll absolutely fall in love with and might be a cool gateway to deathcore.
Totally. Well, I really like their last record, God Hand.
Mm-hmm. And great record.
And the new one coming out, what's the title, Mike?
Lifeblood.
Of course, Lifeblood. You know, the singles they've released, they've been a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I love that the songs on God Hand were short and to the point.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what the rest of this record is going to be like. But I don't think it's going to let me down at all anyway, because there's too much talent, and they vary they have so much great variation in their music all the mm-hmm. time. Like Kyle's vocals especially, like this guy could do everything.
He's a monster.
He could do everything.
Like, and I think everybody in this band is just talented. Like I'll find myself just listening to the single and picking one thing out, and like I listen to the drums, crazy. I listen to the guitar work, crazy. I listen to the atmospheric and like the electronic portions and all the like samples and the orchestra and stuff like that. It's crazy good and fits so well with the song. Like everything about these guys is just such a thought out and well laid effort that I feel like you don't get a lot in the genre a lot, which makes it feel much more refined than a lot of the releases that we do get from the deathcore scene.
100%. 100%. No, I don't know. I have nothing but good things to say about this band. And I love, again, Mike, that you've put a number one artist that's, you know, relatively unknown, you know, mm-hmm. they're not the Chase Atlantics or the Architects or the NoFX's or, mm-hmm. Or the Data Remembers. So I love that.
They have 240,000 listeners on Spotify. I don't think they're that unknown.
Yeah, but you're right. But you know what I'm saying? They're just, you know.
Oh yeah, they're definitely a newer band. I think that they are really kind of rolling up in prominence very quickly with these singles that they've been releasing.
Yeah,
they've always kind of been a band that everybody's like, yeah, that's a pretty good deathcore band, but now everybody's comparing them to the likes of Enterprise Earth and Shadow of Intent and these deathcore bands that are just kind of like the upper echelon of what everybody wants to hear. And I'm just so excited for this album. I think it's going to be one of the best heavy releases this year, bar none. It's honestly possibly a top 10 contender for me if everything pans out like the singles do.
Sweet. Well, tune in next week. We'll talk about this record in great depth and probably some of the other ones too. That's great. Shall we recap?
I think we should.
All right. Number six.
So we've got the new album, You're Welcome, by A Day to Remember.
We'll see about that. We'll definitely be talking about that one next week.
Oh, yeah.
Number five.
We've got the new album, I Won't Care How You Remember Me, by Tiger's Jaw.
Great band. Number four.
We've got the new album, Conduit, by The Spill Canvas.
They're back. Their first record in, what, 9 years? Check that
Something
one out.
Something like that.
Number three.
Number three. We've got the new album, A Pale Blue Dot, by Dreamshade.
Yes.
Love that album title.
Yes. For fans of Gothenburg Sound and Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
Number two.
Number two, we've got the new album Beauty and Death by Chase Atlantic.
Chase Atlantic, underrated band. And number one.
Number one, we've got the new album Lifeblood by Brand of Sacrifice.
We did it. That's the top six. Extra one this week. And it's exciting stuff. Now, I know you have some honorable mentions.
I have tons. All I have are honorable mentions.
Let's go. Shane. Let's go. I'm fine with that.
All right, so we've got new albums that I want to briefly talk about. We've got a new album from Chevelle.
Okay.
Classic kind of radio rock band. I think a lot of people love them. They write some tasty riffs, and I think that if you didn't know there's a new Chevelle album coming out, now you do. Go check it out.
Well, Chevelle, interesting band too, because a lot of people will just kind of write them off as, mm-hmm. you know, the one-hit wonder because that song The Red was so big, like on the radio, and then... You know, like because they never did it again. You know, they never had that, mm-hmm. that big single again. And in fact, the radio just kept playing that song. But they continued, you know, putting out albums and growing their fan base. You know, like pretty much, I mm-hmm. think it was like every 2 years they're putting out an album. And that's a band that has a lot of fans, not just fans of The Red.
Yeah. And I think... they're always kind of mid-tier at the larger like rock shows. I definitely think they've got a fan base, and
yep.
I think this album is going to be exactly what they're looking for. I've listened to some of the singles. They've been pretty enjoyable. So
nice. Okay.
Another quick album I want to talk about is we've got the new album from Kings of Leon.
Oh,
how did I not hear about this?
How did I not hear about this?
I don't know, probably because they haven't advertised or who knows, but I think they've really fallen off the radar from a lot of people since they had those couple songs like Sex on Fire and stuff like that.
But what was that like? When did that come out? Like 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I was in high school, I think. But like this band's still great. They're still putting out bangers, like the kind of alternative indie scene, right? And I really enjoy them. I think they're awesome.
Yeah, I'm shocked. First of all, I'm shocked that they have a new record coming out. When was the last one? Looks like 2016 Walls. Don't even remember this record. Yeah, they're not too prolific, but yeah, it looks like the big album was 2008. But yeah, I'm amazed that, first of all, this isn't in the top five or six, but obviously there's a lot of records.
It's too many records this week.
But yeah, it's just, it's crazy. I hadn't didn't hear about this record.
Yep. And then one last record I want to talk about, Void of Vision. They're a great metalcore band. They're putting out a remastered and remixed album. They have redone a bunch of songs with either remixes or new features. Some of the prominent features are the likes of Ryu from Crystal Lake, mm-hmm. Kaleem from Loathe, and Garrett from Slant Plant. These are great features. These are great songs already, and they're just revamping them because they've had nothing better to do. So go check that out.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm always like, that's cool and all, but like, mm-hmm. maybe new music would be better. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean, I'm here for it. The record came out last year, if I remember.
Okay.
So,
all right, that makes sense.
I think it's like the right time.
That makes sense then. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So getting into kind of the singles and such like that, on Friday, we have a new single from Zao.
Oh, Zao, fuck yeah. However,
I still don't know how to say that.
I think it's Zao. It was Zao in 1996. I think it's still Zao, but like, you know, back then, I mean, who know? Like, that's how all my friends said it. So mm-hmm. I just assumed it was. But I mean, Zao, this is as classic metalcore as it gets. Like, they practically invented the metalcore genre. Mm-hmm. Early on, very Christian, very intense, like, that, you know, Tooth and Nail band, I believe, early on. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their beliefs are now or what they're doing now, but I'm very excited to see what this is.
Oh, yeah. They're a classic. I think it's been quite a while since they've had new music, too, so it's always very exciting to hear from bands like that. Another band that hasn't had new music in a long time, the 1975 is putting out a new single.
Nice.
I like them.
I'm all about them. Yeah,
they're
really good.
Really,
man.
Talented.
That was a band that just kind of like came out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden mm-hmm. they were one of the biggest, like, playing arenas, and they were huge in like a year.
Which, like, crazy. That first album is an absolute banger of an album still. Like, I put it on once in a while.
No, for sure. I think so. And then they sort of evolved very quickly too into a new sound, mm-hmm. but it worked too. I just think they're incapable of putting out anything shitty. So
100% agree.
Yeah, awesome.
I know we talked about it a little earlier, but there is a new 303 song. It is an absolute banger, and it has a really strange feature. It is featuring Clown from Slipknot.
Okay, what's Clown do in Slipknot?
He's the one of the drummers.
Okay.
So there's some sick beats in the background. I think it's a good song. It's fun. It's 303. It can't not be fun.
Okay.
Some other things that we've got going on. I'm not sure if this is a single or not yet, but Against the Current is teasing something, another kind of prolific band that doesn't really do things very often anymore. Everybody in the band has kind of moved on to other pastures for the most part. But whenever they come back, I'm always very excited because this is kind of one of my favorite, like, alternative pop punk bands. You familiar with Against the Current, Shane?
Oh, sorry, I missed the title of the band. I thought you were saying that the band goes against the current. I was like,
No,
yeah, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, new single from Against the Current.
I guess I'm not familiar.
All right, well, they're great. You should check them out. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
My sheet is loading.
I will. Wow, oh, this is a big band. Damn, 4 million, almost 4 million Instagram.
So that's because they featured on two of the world championship songs for the League of Legends World Championship,
which
is absolutely huge and always blows them up. But
that's cool.
They're just a great band.
Cool. I love it.
And then we have the final single from the new Porter Robinson album. He's announced it's the final single, unfortunately, until April or so when the album drops. But I absolutely love Porter Robinson. The new single came out today. It's called Musician, I want to say, and it's really great. kind of ambient electronic. I think it's he's probably not very niche in his genre, but I think he is because I haven't found anybody else like him, and I absolutely love him.
Sick, love it.
Ooh, why won't you load?
You've got so many this week, Mike. This is like
I do. I had 10 on my list.
Wow, this is crazy. So, so 10 plus the 6, plus yep. everything we missed last week. I still don't know how you're finding time to listen to all these records. Like you must
it's
just
very
have.
Difficult.
You must just have music on all the time.
I do. If I have to listen to this butt rock playlist while I work out, it's going to very critically damper my music listening time.
It will derail your whole list.
Yep. So one of the favorites of the pod, I don't know if it's favorite of the whole pod, definitely favorite of mine, Rivals is putting out their last single for the record.
Oh, you love Rivals.
I love Rivals so much. This band is absolutely incredible. That single comes out tomorrow on Thursday.
You
for the
talk,
people on Twitch.
You talk about this band as much as possible.
I try to. I mean, I think they're awesome and underrated. Like,
yeah,
they're just great.
I think they're really good too. You turned me on to them, Mike, like 100%. Mm-hmm. It's all you. I think they're fantastic too. And yeah, if anybody is looking for something new, female fronted, but just a little more character in the vocals. I've said this before too.
Oh yeah.
Check out Rivals. Just spelt normal. No fucking upside down A's or V's or any shit. Rivals.
Yep.
There you go. Check them out. They're a great band.
So coming out today, one of my favorite kind of weird bands. I don't really know how to describe them. They are super electronic focused metalcore coming out of Japan. So if you can imagine what that sounds like, it's this band called Bloodstained Child. They're absolutely incredible. I love whenever they put something else out. I don't know. You probably never heard of them because it's kind of weird, but
Bloodstained Child is a hell of a name.
I know, right? Like, I feel like they get some people turned away just because of the name, but it's absolutely incredible music. Like, the two new singles are great. They came out today. Every album they put out is an absolute banger. Like, I love this band.
Well, I'm surprised I haven't heard of them. I mean, they've been at it since at least 2002.
Yep. 'Cause
that's their early stuff, 2002, and they've put out a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, Japanese bands, it can be pretty far removed mm-hmm. from us. A lot of times they don't come over here. They don't get distributed yep. over here, you know, and it can be just too strange to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm all about it. I mean, you know, one of my favorite bands of all time is Envy. So,
yep.
you know, I'm all about that Japanese stuff.
Oh yeah, and like this is definitely weird. It's very, I guess the like cyberpunky, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Like I would have described it as cyberpunky before the game and everything like that, but like it just applies, I guess. Like that vibe of like grungy neon futuristic city is exactly where they're sitting, and would go perfectly in that kind of game soundtrack.
All about it. That's cool.
And then I have one more single.
Yes.
And I am extremely excited about this. This is probably one of my favorite bands ever. This is a band that never fails to fall out of the top five on my album of the year list whenever they drop something. We have a new single from Being as a Fucking Ocean.
Yes, I know you love them.
Coming out on Friday.
I know you love them. Somebody's thrown it up in the chat here like Mike doesn't know. Come on, Taylor. It's Mike. It's Mike. You knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about this band a couple weeks ago, too.
We did.
Yeah, you're right. They never disappoint. They have so much talent in one band. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember when they had Connor Dennis playing for them? Like that was a thing that happened. You talk about a stacked lineup and just so much emotion, so much. It's always so much deeper than just here's a song or here's an album. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've got one of the best clean singers there is, one of the best front men, and I love this band too.
Absolutely incredible. I'm so excited. The album artwork for the single is beautiful. It's this nice grayscale with kind of a faded sepiaed rainbow. It looks absolutely beautiful. It's one of those bands that's just like so aesthetic in everything that they do as well.
Yep.
And I just love that. The record art always kind of encompasses the feel that you're supposed to have with the album. I'm just so excited for this. One of my favorite bands. It's great. I can't talk up Being as an Ocean enough. If you haven't listened to Being as an Ocean before, go listen to them now. Like, they're a full album band too, so just put on an album, pick one. They're all great.
They are great. I mean, you're right too about the aesthetic thing. Like, I think I was talking to Tyler about that one time, because they had like some just really good merch, and I was like, oh, you guys have like awesome merch. And he's like, yeah, you know, we put like a lot of time and like a lot of money into it. And they were saying they pay like $1,000 a design or something. Like, they get like these crazy people just to do their merch designs. So
I mean, it works for them. Like, I think I have like 10 Being as an Ocean shirts, just because I fall in love with their merch. And I'm like, oh wow, I need that. And then I go to hang it up right next to all the other Being as an Ocean merch, and I'm like, oh, I have a lot of this. I probably shouldn't have bought this one.
It's true.
And but I mean, do it again a couple months later.
But that, you know, that attention to detail that they put into everything they do is, I mean, they're a reason. That's the reason why they're one of your favorite bands, Mike. It's
oh yeah.
It's not. It's no secret. So I love it.
Hell yeah.
Love it. Damn, we did the thing.
We did it. That's all we got.
That's all we got. Until next week. Any sneak previews for next week? Slow week?
Sneak previews for next week. There's this newer band called First and Forever. We talked about them on the end of year cast.
Yes.
They are dropping their, I want to say, debut EP.
Yes.
I have heard it. It's pretty great.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely awesome. But that's all I'll give.
They actually, I was repping them pretty hard on the podcast a while back. I think it was their song Chicago, I think, their single. So yeah, it's nice to see them putting out some music. It must be so hard being a newer band right now and just like,
oh, I can't.
Hey, we put
it.
Out our music on the internet, and now we just like sit here and we can't tour and promote ourselves and play shows. Like, that's tough.
It's wild.
It's tough. Yeah.
As always, if you want to see the full list every week, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. Post it there.
There it is.
Or at Slappy Slam. Or join the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. I also post it there with some detailed thoughts sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah. And
do Mike, what you want. The list is places. Go
and,
find it.
And for Mike's dank memes and really, really weird Photoshops, more than just what we post on Instagram already.
Oh, well, yeah. They're like pretty tame, the Instagram ones. There are some absolutely hilarious ones, like in the Discord and stuff. Like, I'll find a photo of somebody if they're memeing and just, oh, it's great. It's such a good time. Come in, see my shitty Photoshops.
All right, you can see it all there. So light!